I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. This November, voters in Boise will elect their next mayor. There are seven candidates, including current mayor and incumbent Dave Beter. In August, Idaho Matters and Boise State Public Radio partnered with Conservation Voters for Idaho to present a discussion with some of the candidates. At the time, CVI planned that event, four candidates had stepped forward. Today on the show, we have a special presentation of this Boise Mayoral Forum. The four candidates on the stage that night in August were Boise Mayor Dave Beter, Boise City Council President Lauren McLean, Adriel Martinez, and Courtney Nielsen. Well, hi, everyone, and thanks for coming out. So the candidates' opening and closing statements and responses to questions will be timed. So each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond. These are five. Hopefully, we'll get to the sixth question. These are pre-written questions depending on time. And these questions were determined prior to the forum. The organization asked attendees to provide questions, suggestions for the candidates, and then Conservation Voters for Idaho read those suggestions, and then they used them to form the questions for the candidates. Now, the order of the candidates' opening statements, closing statements, and questioned responses was also determined prior to the forum by a dice roll. So without further ado, I want to quickly give you some information about each candidate. First, Mayor Dave Beter. Born and raised in Boise, Mayor Beter is a graduate of Bishop Kelly High School, the College of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. This is where he earned a bachelor's degree in international studies, and then the University of Idaho in Moscow, where he earned his law degree. Dave started his public service career with the Ada County Prosecutor's Office, and then as civil counsel to Bonner County in North Idaho. He later returned to Boise to open a private practice, which focused on municipal law. And after a tragic car accident when both of his parents passed away, Dave was appointed to fill his dad's seat in the Idaho legislature. He was then elected to the same seat in 2000 and in 2002. And then in 2003, he ran and was elected as the 54th mayor of Boise. Dave has now served four terms as the Boise City Mayor, and by his side through the election and in life has been his wife, Julia, and their daughter. Next, we have Adriel Martinez. And Adriel is an Idaho native who has primarily lived in the Treasure Valley, specifically Boise, Nampa, and Meridian. He graduated from Nampa High School. He served in the military immediately after graduation. He served 4.5 years active duty in the United States Army. He was deployed twice to Afghanistan. After receiving an honorable discharge, he returned to the Treasure Valley to attend Boise State University, and he graduated in 2016. Adriel has worked for multiple political campaigns. He ran for city council in 2015, and he now works at FedEx. Council President Lauren McLean. Council President Lauren McLean was born in Boston. She was raised in Texas and moved to upstate New York before attending Notre Dame University, where she graduated with honors in 1997. After marrying her high school sweetheart, Scott, the two settled in Boise. This is where Lauren earned an MPA in environmental policy from Boise State University. And then in 2001, at just the ripe old age of 27, Lauren successfully led the historic Boise Foothills Open Space Campaign. In 2011, she was appointed to Boise City Council. She was twice reelected and elected to council president in 2017. In addition to her city council position, Lauren currently serves on the New Deal Leaders Climate Policy Group, as well as on the Board of Governors at the Andrus Center of Boise State. And, you know, in her spare time, she enjoys running or biking and exploring Idaho's beautiful backcountry by foot or by ski with her husband and their two kids, Madeline and Aiden. And our last candidate tonight, Courtney Nielsen. Courtney was born and raised in Boise, like many generations before her. She attended St. Mark's Catholic School, Bishop Kelly, and Boise High School. She currently works for Acosta Sales and Marketing Services and Foster Grant. Courtney has a section of Adopt a Highway named after her cat, Big Kitty Inc. Courtney is a... Because why not? Courtney is a member of the Idaho Water Garden and Koi Society, and she's advocated for a filtration system and automatic feeder in the koi ponds at the Boise Train Depot. Courtney also volunteers with the Idaho State Historical Society, and she's on the board for the Central Rim Neighborhood Association. Can we please give a round of applause for our candidates? Mm-hmm. So again, just so you know, this is, you know, random order for questions. So the first question, we're going to start with Lauren McLean. In recent years, Boise has been listed among the most livable cities in America. We always seem to get on some new list every day. So how do you think conservation influences livability? And if elected, what would you do to ensure Boise remains a great place to live?
Thank you for the question. Boise is an incredibly livable city, and the place in which we live is tied closely to that. And I fundamentally believe that you can't have prosperity for all if you aren't also harnessing the opportunity that comes from the resources we have, the foothills, the river, that exist. How we build on that, especially looking forward in the world that we're in with the challenges that we have, is to double down and do more than we're doing right now when it comes to clean energy. Our prosperity will be tied so closely to not only making the goal that I proposed and led on for 100% clean energy by 2035, but going beyond that. And as mayor, I'd work so hard to beat that goal and make it 2030. Because when we do that, we're opening up the opportunity to create new jobs in the city, which is so tied right now to being able to afford a place to live. We have to protect our air. And right now, our air is so severely impacted by single car trips. I imagine we'll get to a transportation question, but at the end of the day, we have to have solutions around transportation. And in my first term, I would work on having an actual plan for transit that'll start not by chasing a tool, which we need, but by building the relationships and vision so we can talk about the value of moving our people from work to place. And then we rely so heavily on foothills, open spaces, our clean water, our river, and the access to it. It's important that we take steps to protect those bands of farmlands that are extended beyond our city limits and figure out how we connect the farmlands to our foothills with pathways that are safe for people. And I'll be working on that as well.
And we're going to go to Courtney next for the question.
Being born and raised here, I love everything that Boise has to offer. I'm not going to probably campaign that it's the end in global warming and climate change. I believe in looking at the best of things. I believe in looking that we've done great, that there's even more greatness to come, that we have everything that we know now, and everything that all these committees and peoples and advocates working for clean air and clean water and better energy. I don't believe that a goal is necessary because it's a premeditated resentment. It's that I wake up today and go, how can I help? Well, I'm going to lead by example. I have a highway. I pick up trash. When I run, I grab a bag and I pick up trash as I run. I do what I can for today. I love that there is wind turbines out in, you know, on the way to Pocatello. They're beautiful and they look like daisies blowing in the wind. For Boise, there's just unlimited opportunities in the composting, and it's so neat to be a part of that, and recycling. And I wake up and I think, how neat that I can participate in this and make this a better place for all of us, and that's what I can do today. And for Boise, I think that we all participate in a great way, so I'm looking forward to what we can do together. It's exciting. Thank you.
And we're going to pass the mic to Mayor Beter now to answer the question.
Well, I appreciate the question because inherent in the question is the success of making us one of the most livable cities in the country. That's an important point to start from. And you know, conservation is inherent in really everything we do, not just the Greenbelt, which we celebrate 50 years this year. I hope you'll all come out in September and really note that and celebrate that. It's one of our community's finest hours. And open space in the foothills, but it ought to be part of everything we do. So important to our future is not to sprawl. Sprawl is the enemy of so many things that we want to do. It uses up too much resources, too much energy, too much water. It makes things more expensive. It makes services more expensive. And we have fought that tooth and nail. Conservation and preserving areas are important, but you can't preserve them if you don't keep development out of them. And that's what we've had tremendous success at doing. We've built walkable, bikeable, mixed-use developments like Bound Crossing and Harris Ranch are new developments, let alone the development and infill that we see in city, really better than any city in the valley and than many cities across the country. So it is part of everything we do. It's part of our future. But more than anything else, we have to develop in a way that sustains us. Nothing else is possible. Transit isn't possible unless we do that. And conservation is inherent in all those decisions. Those are tough decisions, but we've made them, and I will make them as we roll into the future. Thank you.
And then Adriel.
So I'll start off with kind of the definition of conservation is to conserve. So we have to conserve what we have, and it's deteriorating. And so Boise has a large carbon footprint in the state compared to the other cities. We put the most pollution out compared to every other city. Yes, we're bigger, but we have to do a better job of controlling that. We have to look for more renewable energy sources. Our transportation right now, we don't have a good transportation system. Our buses don't run long enough for a lot of the working people to use them, unfortunately. They're still using, a lot of it is still dirty fuel, which there's, you know, electric is, we had to look for stuff like electric, look to a busing system that's 100% electric, possibly down the line. And it can be very expensive because you have to put up the power lines above the buses that they basically use to tether for the electricity. But we have to make Boise more livable for the people moving in here because it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get worse. So we have to start tomorrow, not in January when after it's all has been decided in November. We have to start now, tomorrow. We have to lessen our carbon footprint to make the open hills, the open spaces, the fish. So a lot of places in Boise, you know, I'm scared to fish in some of these places around here because I know the pollution and what's happening, and it's not as bad as, for instance, my brother in Ohio, Lake Erie is, don't eat the fish out of Lake Erie because you might get poisoned. But it's not that bad here, but we've got to make it so it doesn't get to that level because it will at the current rapid growth that we're seeing. This is what happens to cities when they get big. And thank goodness for the EPA, because if it got that bad, they might have to step in. But as a city, we have to start tomorrow to make Boise livable for the future. Thank you.
And before we move on, I want to ask a question. Mayor Beter spoke about sprawl and really trying to make sure that we don't sprawl. I'm curious to know what the three other candidates think about, you know, sprawl versus density, and if this is possible, if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Adriel, I'll start with you and just go down the line and quickly on this one, please.
So the suburban sprawl is probably the worst thing we did after World War II. Big oil won the day, unfortunately. And automobiles run this country compared to other countries in the world. I've lived in Italy, and I've been all over the world. And I can tell you the suburban sprawl is, if you've ever been to Atlanta, what's that, a two-hour commute every day? Time is money. So the suburban sprawl is not good. We have to build smarter, we have to build up, and we do have to build more dense. And it's not necessarily going to look like Blade Runner or anything like that. We're not going to go that high up, but we have to do something because a suburban sprawl, it doesn't work. If you've ever lived out by Lake Hazel and Maple Grove, those are country roads. Good luck making it to work on time if there's an accident.
So growth is really that question of the election in so many ways. And it comes down to sprawl versus density in some ways. But I think the key of this is figuring out what cities of the future look like and how we design in a way that nods to the landscape in which we live, recognizing that right now we're 10,000 units short, so 10,000 homes short in Boise with the growth that we have. But also we have to recognize that we are one city and there's a valley that's also making other decisions. So in order to impact air quality, to build transit systems that work, to connect people from their homes to work, to create affordability in this valley, we're gonna all have to work together and come up with some decisions around that. And also, as we are having conversations as a city about where we head, knowing how many units we are short and that there are affordability issues, I think in some ways it's important to engage the public in a conversation about what it means to take those homes that we know we need and put them into the neighborhoods that we have. And I think then in a collective way, we start to understand what that city of the future, our city, looks like. And as part of that, as we're dense, as we're getting denser, we have the conversations about what parks and open spaces look like in the future to give people gathering places.
Thank you. If you could hand it over to Courtney to answer that as well.
As far as sprawl, I just learned that word tonight. I had never heard it before in this reference. So I understand that Boise is large, and I commute 1,600 miles a month, and I love Boise. I'm sorry, I honestly don't have a comment for this subject because I sprawl. I'm going to have to research that one, so thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Moving on to the next question, and Council President McLean, you actually spoke about this briefly, but Boise recently committed to 100% clean electricity by 2035. What do you view as the next major step for Boise to take in response to climate change? And we're going to start this round with Adriel.
Funny, because I mentioned climate change, so it's kind of ironic. But say the question again.
The question is, Boise recently committed to 100% clean electricity by 2035. What do you view as the next major steps for Boise to take in response to climate change?
That's actually, I agree with the Boise government. They actually are doing a good job. And we have to move to 100% everything that the city government does renewable, 100%. Not 99%, 100%, and I definitely would do that however I could. There's a little bit of money cost up front, but in the long run, what happens? You get off of King Gas, who runs everything. The gas companies run everything. They donate to candidates. And so to take a step like the city's done is, we're a progressive city. This isn't, you know, we're not in Northern Idaho or any other part of the state, so they have been doing a good job of trying to go to the future, and I like a lot of their goals, and some of them might seem lofty, but they're all possible, and they've done them in other parts of the world. So we are lagging behind as a country in terms of renewable versus non-renewable, and we have to do a better job, and the city leads the way because they can make ordinances, they can make everything that they do and all of the cost of their for the electricity that's running the buildings, powering the vehicles, the busing system, which I think the Boise City should take back instead of the Valley Ride, which, because we spend most of the money and we put most of the money into that system, but the city has to go to 100% renewable energy, and there's a timeline, so you know, give it like 10 years, 10 or 15 years, it's not going to be, that can't happen overnight. So that's my thoughts on that.
So do you have an actual kind of next step that you think would be next?
Probably like a 5-year or 10-year plan of getting off of non-renewable energy for everything that the city does. So the cost of operations for the buildings, the buses, even possibly police cars, okay. And stuff like that. So, like a 5-year plan to be implemented every year, possibly a 10, 15-year plan down the road. So eventually everything is 100% renewable that the city pays for, okay, and our tax dollars pay for, basically.
Great. Thank you. If you could pass the microphone over to Courtney. Courtney, let me repeat that question for you. Boise recently committed to 100% clean electricity by the year 2035. So what do you view as the next major steps for Boise to take in response to climate change?
Believe that limitations are not good for anybody and anything. So climate change, I still advocate that the emissions test, and because we all love driving our cars, whether it's a Prius or whether it's a gas-powered vehicle, but clean air is something we all value, and for Boise to be a huge advocate is, let's take an emissions test, let's get clean our air, let's take that money and pool it together and take care of our roads and infrastructure, I think is a simple approach to something that, I mean, we all want to save our planet and we all want to take care of it, and I think baby steps are ideal. So thank you.
And next we'll go to Council President Lauren McLean.
Well, thanks. This is a great question. Because at the end of the day, clean energy and what we do next is about people, our prosperity, equity in this community, and our health. And so right now we have a plan to hit 100% clean energy by 2035. As mayor, I want to beat that goal, as I said earlier, and do everything we can, if at all possible, to get there sooner. And I think it is possible with the way the market's changing. And then also, that's only about half of the therms, the carbon that we're using in this city. And so we have to take steps to wean ourselves off of natural gas over time. And so while we're working to install clean energy, solar energy, build new projects, create equitable programs to expand energy efficiency to people, especially those that need it most, we also have to put together a plan that addresses natural gas. And so I will be working and would propose that by 2021 we have that plan, and I'd hope that by 2035 our city government buildings could be carbon neutral. And then also at the same time as we're moving to do that valley-wide, because it ties to our long-term economic prosperity and public health, we will be looking to make our city fleet electric wherever possible. If city dollars are going into buses, it was a great point, Adriel, they should be electric and will be electric. And wherever we can, I'd be having us look at net zero buildings. Thank you. Oh, and since I have 25 seconds, I think it's really important that we make sure that those that would benefit the most from the monthly savings and power bills that are hit the most by the impacts of climate have access to those programs, and that would be a value of mine. And a shout out to the next generation that gets all of this and got it so much sooner. And we need all of you to help us create this and make it happen and create the jobs of the future.
And Mayor Beter, we're going to end this question with you.
Well, you know, first of all, inherent in the goal of 2035 is that it be affordable. You know, if we had $1 billion, we could be 100% sustainable and renewable by tomorrow. But we don't have $1 billion, and people are stretched as it is. And that's a qualifier that we made sure was part of the goal of 2035, and that's a challenge. And that is the first order of business as part of that goal. But you know, the other horizon is water. We live in the high desert. We aren't making any more water. There's only so much that we have. I'm so proud of our efforts in water renewal. Just that change. We used to call it wastewater. There's no wasting water. We only have so much water. It's water renewal. 20,000 people a year visit the watershed where we educate them on the circle of water, not just in the city, but all around the valley. That is an educational investment that's going to pay for years to come. So water is the huge challenge. We don't own our water system. We do great things with our water renewal system. We do great things with our geothermal system. But we have to work with SUEZ, and we have to work with all of us to make sure the future is one where we control that future, and we have the kind of place that all of us live. We live in a way that's not just sustainable, but it sets up our children and our grandchildren to live well beyond us. So that is the horizon that we all need to think and work towards.
So along with population growth, as well as density and sprawl, of course, is transportation. So this question will start with Mayor Beter, and as we talk about our city's transportation infrastructure, how do you plan to balance the demands of population growth and transportation needs with sustainability as Boise, as we all know, and we keep talking about tonight, continues to grow?
Well, again, it starts with a development pattern that's compact with a mix of uses, with bikeability, walkability. That makes transit so much more possible. We're in a tough spot. Let's not kid each other. We have a legislature that won't either fund public transportation or give us the authority to go to our citizens and make our case and have them approve it. It's really only Alabama and Idaho that do that. unless you're talking about college football, that's not the company you want to be in. No offense to Alabamans here in the audience. But we're in a tough spot. We've got to stretch everything we can right now. We're the biggest contributor to Valley Regional Transit by leaps and bounds. $8 million, and we've committed another million over the next couple of years. But that has to come from the general fund. You can't build public transportation. I've looked at systems all around the country. Nobody can build a great public transportation system from a property-based general fund. It doesn't happen. You're competing for too many needs. So we're going to stretch every dollar. I've been to more VRT meetings than I care to mention. I'm not getting those hours back. And we're trying to stretch every dollar, and we do with everything we can, and try to convince other jurisdictions to ante in and help us out and do more. But we need funding. We need a funding source. Till then, we're going to work bike opportunities. We're going to do pedestrian-friendly developments. We're going to work scooters. God bless them. They're all around, and they're helping overall, folks. That's what we've got to do, but we've got to convince those our friends in the legislature and take it into our own hands and do an initiative if we have to. It worked for the Medicaid expansion. It can work for local option as well.
And if we could pass the, yes. So the question, and Courtney, you're next with us. This is about transportation infrastructure. So how do you plan to balance the demands of population growth and transportation needs with sustainability as the city of Boise continues to grow?
Like I said earlier, I travel 1,600 miles a month, and I'm always commuting out of town when the commute into Boise is miles and miles long. And so I would work with other counties and be an advocate. I would say, hey, well, this is so, don't you want your people to get to work in a timely manner, be happy? I mean, just the train and the tracks are there, and it would just, the balance of the less cars on the commute on I-84 and these people are, just to care about, the people that are, I mean, don't you want happy employees when they get to work? I mean, I think that to ignore that resource that is already there and just doesn't make any sense to me. So yes, Boise, everywhere is getting bigger, and to not utilize a resource such as the train tracks and it would be less emissions test, but there's balance in everything. So I guess that's where I stand. I would just work with other counties and just say, hey, we can do this, we can do it together, and we can get it done sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. If we can pass the microphone to Adriel. Adriel, if you could answer that question regarding population growth and transportation.
So population growth drives the cost up in general in cities. Like I mentioned earlier, the Atlanta and the suburban sprawl. Do you want to waste 2 hours in traffic? Even in a Prius, you're going to have to be using gas, so you're still going to be burning through gas. So you have to have alternative transportation methods. And when I lived in Europe, they were a lot better. But they're very anti-vehicle, and Americans love their big trucks and stuff. So we have to make a balance, because I do like driving. Obviously, I've driven for, you know, a little while, and I do like driving, but I like hiking. I actually wouldn't mind riding the bus, but our busing system here isn't very good compared to other cities in this country. And we have to make the busing system work for the people. Like I said, Monday through Saturday night, 24/7. It's got to happen. The city's gotten too big. It's not a small city. Possibly Sunday. We'll see. There's got to be studies done. But for sure, starting Monday through Saturday night, 24/7. We have to get people off of the roads. There needs to be talk of, and I know they've talked about it before, but it needs to get done. There needs to be a light rail system between Caldwell and Boise. It's got to get done. It's got to get built over the freeway. It's very possible. And that's the type of stuff we have to do, because more cars is not good. But people need to have their liberty. That's what we have in this country, is liberty. So you should be able to drive your car. But we have to balance it with the transportation issues we already have. So I think that it takes a lot. And, you know, like even the Lime scooters, I know some people, they don't like them. And people are running people over with them and doing crazy stuff. But, you know, there's like Lime scooter gangs out there here. But people are using those productively. Unfortunately, some people are messing things up for other people, but that happens. So, and I think the city's done a good job of keeping those in play, so.
Transportation is fundamentally tied to sustainable growth patterns in the long term. And so as we grow right now, we know that by 2040, our valley will be at about 1 million people, and our transportation system is 20 years behind. So something has to give if we're gonna grow sustainably. Right now, our air quality on bad days is eighth worst in the country, and that is so dependent and related to single car trips that are taking. So as we grow, of course, the dense development, especially in city limits, is really important. But if we want to tackle public health issues and protect the air we breathe and connect people that do have to live further out and come through our neighborhoods to get to the jobs that they need, reduce monthly costs, and at the end of the day, mitigate and be prepared for climate impacts in the long term, transportation is the answer. And so we do that by, yes, we need the tool of local option. It's something that for many, many years we've tried to get, and we need it. I'm not convinced if we got it tomorrow that the whole valley would agree that it should be spent on transportation. So I think that we go out with a new generation of leaders, renew relationships, ask new questions, and develop a vision around what it looks like to move people in this valley. And once we have that vision and the values that come with it, we then work really, really hard to get the tools that make it possible to implement that plan that's tied to the vision.
This is our last question, and then we will get to closing statements. We will start this last question with Adriel. Boise's air and water quality, as we all know, it is essential to our community's health and our well-being. What do you view as the most pressing issues facing air and water quality levels, and if you are elected, what would you do to mitigate pollution?
I mentioned earlier the carbon footprint. These vehicles, passenger vehicles, cars, trucks, they are extreme impactors of a carbon footprint. We have to reduce the amount of driving that people are doing in their cars because they need, obviously we talked about alternative transportation. Make those that more available, make it so people can walk, light rail. I know a lot of people, when I say that, it's kind of deaf ears, but we have to reduce it because the more people that move here and the more drivers we have, it's only gonna get worse. The EPA already set their emissions testing, so people at Ada County, they get tested, but they're still putting off emissions. So it's a big problem, and we definitely need to figure out a way. And we can't tell people, we have liberty, this is America, you can do what you want a lot of times, and people do some crazy things, but we can't tell people you can't drive. That's not gonna happen, and I don't advocate for that at all. But we gotta figure out a way to make it so they're more comfortable using these other alternative transportation methods so they could go to BSU games and the mall and not use their own personal vehicle. And it's a pressing issue because I know people that suffer when the smog is bad, and I've seen them suffer, and children too, they're small. And when it's bad enough and the schools can't let students out to play outside, that's not good. That shouldn't be happening. That's because of the emissions. That's not a natural phenomena. And just like with the water, we have all these people moving here and people are pollution from all sorts of different things are getting into the rivers. The Boise River, I can guarantee, isn't as clean as it was 100 years ago. So we have to do our best as a government to regulate, but also give people their liberty, like I said. So it's a tough thing to do.
Thank you. Mayor Beter, if you could answer that question as well.
Well, again, it comes back to a lot of things we've talked about, that you can live your life with without having to drive, ideally, but if you do in short distances, that's a development pattern that's compact, packed, and a mix of uses, and walkability and bikeability and all the many things that we've talked about. But I tell you, the transition to clean, renewable energy, that's just so important that we keep that up, and at the same time that it be affordable. But water is the future. I'm a little more optimistic on the air side of things as we shift to electric cars and as that becomes cheaper and easier to do. But water is the future, and water is going to be when climate change kicks in, and I hope we avoid the worst of that. We're working with Suez closely, but there's no incentive to conserve water when you're selling water. That's a real conundrum that we have to resolve, and it'll be the focus of the next 4 years if I can do that. Why are we putting potable water on our lawns? Why should we ever do that? It's just not where we ever should be. Why do we flood irrigate still? My gosh, bless the bench. Great to open up the canals and flood the heck out of it, but that's not the way to go, and it shouldn't be the way we do it now. But we need a level of control and be able to affect that in a way that's difficult now. So that's where we're headed. I think that's the future, and it's one that I will work on intensely in the next 4 years.
Thank you, Mayor. And if we could have Council President Lauren McLean answer that question. So it is, let me read the question again. This is about Boise's air and water quality. And what do you view as the most pressing issues, if I could say issues tonight, facing air and water quality levels? And if elected, what would you do to mitigate pollution?
Great, thanks. So I talked earlier about transportation and air quality, so I'll just remind everybody that from the most pressing air quality issue is the number of cars that we have in single car trips, because air quality is a health issue, and in the long term, it'll constrain our economy as well if we can't clean it up. So we've got to come up with transportation solutions, whether that be moving people by sidewalks or pathways or on bikes or in modern day transportation systems. And especially right now with the EPA under attack, and so many of those safeguards we had to protect our air quality going away, it's up to cities to think about how we do the most that we can moving forward, which I'm very optimistic about the future, to protect our air quality. On water, I don't want to go super Elizabeth Warren on you, but I did release a plan today, and it's online at mcleanforboise.com. It's a clean energy city for all, and in it I talk about a lot of solutions around water conservation and water quality. Our city's doing amazing work around the water renewal system, and imagine when you have got a mayor that's recognizing that in the long term it's a resource and it's a commodity, and I believe deeply in the power of connecting the environment to long-term prosperity. What more we could do? But then there are the super geeky things that we look at as we're growing. You know, right now we do interesting water things downtown because we have urban renewal dollars. But we need to figure out how we do bioswales out in the developments that we create, because that'll clean our water before it goes back in. As we're using pavement and the water goes shoof and into the river and it leaves, we need to use more permeable pavers. And if there's no incentive to do these things, then we need to take bold action and require that they're done, because in the long term, we have to make sure we have enough water and then it's clean for all of us to drink.
And Courtney, last answer. So the question again, it is about Boise's air and water quality. What do you view as the most pressing issues facing air and water quality levels? And if you are elected, what would you do to mitigate pollution?
Again, a huge advocate for the emissions test all over the state, because not only is Ada County and Canyon County only responsible for that emissions test, which I think is absurd, because everyone is commuting all over our beautiful state, and I don't think that it is just a Ada County and Canyon County thing. I think we all advocate for clean air. I think we all want to take care of our planet. And so again, the emissions test for statewide, I will knock down the doors. I just, clean air, and I'm a big fan, and I love to drive. I would love to have 10 cars. But I would love to participate and pay for my roads and clean the air at the same time. So as far as water, I love the fact that I water my flower garden and I can turn on the faucet from my hose and drink that water. So I'm greatly blessed that Boise has done so well to take care of our water, and I know that going forward with all the intelligence that there is out there, that it's only just going to get better. I mean, there is no limitations. Things are just going to get better with all that we know. We are just going to keep moving forward and taking care of our planet. It's limitless. Thank you.
We are going to move on to our closing statements now. As a reminder, these closing statements are 3 minutes each. And the rundown, we will have Courtney begin. So we're going to put time on the clock. And once we press go, Courtney, please start with your closing statement.
Anyway, my name is Courtney Nielsen again. I'm a candidate for mayor, and I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I'm doing this for many reasons, and some I can't answer for, but I am passionate about people, and I love Boise, and I love all of Idaho. I think that politics has lost a little bit of the people perspective, and I, not being a political person at all, want to engage the public so much and so deeply and get excited about government. This would really impress my government teacher from Boise High right now. And the fact that it can be exciting and it can be engaging and it can be fun. And yes, we do care because you're a human being and that's, you do matter and you have a voice. So I think when negativity is always brought to the table, that people will not show up. People do not go to honey. I mean, you know what I'm saying, bees, honey attracts bees, bees make honey, whatever. But the point is that it's time to get excited about this and talk about possibilities and unlimited opportunities and we can do this and let's do this together and collaboration of great ideas and stop blaming and that's why I'm here. I wanted to bring some positivity and optimism to the table because I think that's been lost a long time ago. So thank you for being here tonight and thank you for inviting me.
And Mayor Beter, you are next on the list for closing statements.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming and thanks CBI for having us. It's been a great night. We've had some real successes over the past several years. We've put ourselves on all these great lists. People envy our city and our area in many ways. But what consumes me, what I get up every day and think about is the future. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I think about what's life going to be like for her. How are we going to have affordable housing for her? How is her transportation and open space and air and water quality going to be? And there are tough decisions that we face in that. And I've shown I'll make tough decisions. You have to do what's in the long-term best interest of the city. That's why I always ask about a decision. What's in the long-term best interest? Leadership isn't doing what's popular, it's doing what's right and help make that popular over time. That's the essence of leadership. There are some things changing and the level, the rate of growth concerns us and concerns me, but there are some things about Boise that should never change. And when I think about that, I think about the people in Boise that made the most difference to me. And that's my mom. She grew up in Boise. She led a Boise life. She was the daughter of Basque immigrants. And what her, what she's sown in her character is the way I think of the best of Boise. I think that happens to us. We associate places with people. That's what makes places so great. The people that made a difference to you, maybe it wasn't here, but that's what matters most. And that's what I've tried to be the keeper of that flame and pass that on to my daughter and to her children. And that is authenticity and humility and a hard-working ethic. But as the daughter of Basque immigrants that didn't speak English, it's being a welcoming city. That's what Boise's known for. We'll welcome you, whether you're a refugee or an immigrant, whether you're a boomerang person that comes back to Boise, or God bless you, whether you're from California, you're welcome here, all of you. That's what it means to be a Boisean. That's why Boise Kind is so important. We have struck a chord, folks. I've had more people approach me with that effort and say, keep going, Mayor. That is essential to the future of Boise. That's what defines us. That's what makes this such a special place. And that's what I'm commit to, not just to protect, but to enhance and to give that over to my daughter and to her children. Thank you very much.
And Adriel, if you would give your closing statements.
So we've talked about a lot of important issues tonight that affect the world, not just Boise. And We've got to realize that, like I said before, the change needs to happen tomorrow. And it's not just the city, it's the county, it's a state, it's a federal government, it's other countries in the world. But Boise needs to take the lead, which our city government has done a good job on that. And we need to continue to progress and become, the city needs to go as green as it can be and go 100% renewable for the most part for at least city operations. And maybe we can get the county to do the same thing, who knows? Maybe the state, probably not. But we have to understand that, you know, I've been to places in the world that, like Afghanistan, you know, it's a hostile country, there's a lot of bad things, but the air there, the land is beautiful. And that's why so many people have tried to conquer it. Alexander the Great failed, the Russians failed. It's an awesome place if you take away all the stuff that's happening right now, and it was beautiful. There's no pollution there. And so if you've ever been to a place like that, and some of them are desolate, people don't live there, the air is, it's beautiful to breathe. You don't have any issues. Your eyes don't get, when the haze is bad in smog-polluted cities, you don't have issues breathing. I never had any of that stuff. The most toxic thing that happened, unfortunately, was burn pits, which the military, obviously they don't follow all the EPA regulations, but unfortunately, but I'm still good. My lungs are still good. So I think that these issues that we're talking about now, they don't just affect us in this room. They affect our family, our family's family, our kids, our grandkids. If I ever have kids, these are the issues that I've been fighting for these issues since I was 17. When I first started doing politics, I first helped with the Walt Minute campaign. And I learned a lot from there. I learned that one person can make a difference. And I did make a difference. People didn't take me as serious back then when I was 17. But I've learned that one person. And it just takes one step. Sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. And that's what I've done in these city elections, because I have to be there to stand up for the people. Because there's a lot of people that they feel like politics doesn't include them anymore in the whole country. It's not just, we got to talk micro and macro. It's all connected. And there's issues that our city government officials here have talked about with the state and the county, and we have to work with them. Unfortunately, some of the stuff they're doing, they're living in the past. But we have to do our best as a city to lobby. If I have to go as the mayor and speak to them in their chambers to tell them that they need to change what they're doing, I would. Because it's our city. This is my city. It's Boise. So I just hope that everybody here enjoyed listening to all these great candidates, and I look forward to the election in November.
And we will wrap up the closing statements with Lauren McLean.
Well, thank you, Conservation Voters for Idaho, for having this forum tonight. Such an incredible opportunity to talk about the issues that I believe are integral to our long-term success in this valley. We have a lot of urgent challenges when you think about the impact of climate, rising heat days, the affordability crisis that we're experiencing right now as we grow, and people really concerned about how we move through this moment of growth and retain what is so special to Boise, and that is our connection to people and place. And when we talk about place, it's our open spaces. It's the parks that we love, the green spaces that we have, our clean water and air, and that reliance that we have on our natural resources to create the life that we love and to make it possible to think about the future and what that looks like. And as we look towards building a new economy in a new world that's climate constrained, I am so optimistic because our prosperity and those new jobs for the next generation, our kids and theirs, are tied to the environment in which we live and we work so hard to protect. We need leaders that fundamentally believe that it's not an and/or proposition, but place is tied to people, which is tied to long-term prosperity. My commitment through my career has shown that that's core to my being. And as a mayor, I'd have people first priorities, that because I believe that we will truly thrive when together we chart a shared vision that's tied to where we live and the place we aspire to be. When we embrace the opportunity that climate and a changing world is presenting to all of us, And when we have conservation front and center, because that's key to the opportunities that come from the challenges we're experiencing. This isn't about saving a planet, although we might. It really is about creating healthy, prosperous lives for the people that we love and those that we live around. So my vision for Boise and what I think about when I'm away traveling, when I come back and I run into those hills to ground myself, is that we're a shining city on the hill. And we can prove through hard work and citizen engagement and a return to the ideas that we all have something to share to chart us forward, that equitable communities powered by clean energy will create fair-paying jobs and will enjoy our clean water and open spaces, the paths that connect us to the people and places we love, and the open spaces that fill and restore our souls. And when we have that together, we are that place where prosperity is possible. And so I ask all of you to help me, to join our team. I hope to earn your vote in November, because I know that our future is bright when we embrace where we are and the importance of engaging. So thank you so very much.
You've been listening to a special presentation of a Boise Mayoral Forum. For more stories and interviews with candidates, go to boisestatepublicradio.org and be sure to subscribe to the Idaho Matters podcast. Thanks to Conservation Voters for Idaho, our partners for this event. I'm Gemma Gaudette.